time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, we're back once again with Jeff Ruth, and having a good time today, and we invite you to join in with us. If you have anything you'd like to say to Jeff or myself, please feel free. We're anxious to hear from anyone. Now, here's what's going on, too. I got coupons that can be used by kids or adults, and they're good for a kid's meal, really, which is a junior entree, junior side, a 12-ounce drink, and a cookie. No purchase necessary. So anybody that calls, I'm putting your name in for a drawing that will be made around, what, 12:30 today?
I think Scott said 12:15 to 12:30, okay. Somewhere around in there.
Yeah, so, boy, I tell you, that's good food, too. All right. Thanks for Panda Express for providing those gifts. All right. Now let's see, what else do I have here? Well, Jeff and I have been talking about the good old days in radio and some of the...
some of the not so good.
Yeah, some, right. I remember, too, I think it was WDIF. We were broadcasting from where you usually were, downtown on the corner of Prospect and Center, a little stage there, and a storm came up and drowned our Marty, the transmitter.
Was that during the Popcorn Festival?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it had to be sent away, I think, to refurbish.
I mean, the water was up over the curb.
Oh, yeah, it was
night.
Bad.
Yeah.
Wow. And thank goodness they haven't had anything that bad at the Popcorn Festival, even though, I don't know if you noticed or not, but there seemed to be, not downplay, but not as much publicity this year.
Yeah.
Why, I wonder.
And I didn't know, maybe because I wasn't at the station because I retired in June. And
yeah, oh, that's
so
right.
July and August, and I wasn't listening to the radio much. So,
yeah.
But it did seem like it was down a little bit.
Yeah, I can't understand what's going on. We need to keep interest up for the Popcorn Festival. And it's not the only one in the country. There are other popcorn festivals, I found out.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one over in Indiana. There's one in... I don't know if there's another one in Ohio down... Well, I don't know. But anyhow, they need publicity. And that's a secret to anything that's going on. You've got to have publicity.
Mm-hmm.
And plenty of it. Okay, now, speaking of that, Jeff, I'd like to give away a ticket to their 18th Annual Ridgedale Lions Club Daytona 500 NASCAR Dinner and Auction.
I think I've been to 17 of them.
No kidding. Okay.
I always have a ball game on Saturday night, though.
Oh,
so
you're late.
So I go for the dinner, but I always have to leave by quarter to six or
yeah.
So. So I don't get a chance to stick around for the auction.
Yeah, that's the dinner runs from 4 till 5 o'clock. That's a chicken dinner.
Well, the dinner's at 5.
Is it?
The auction's...
Oh, yeah, dinner at 5, yeah.
Yeah. And,
doors open at 4.
And they have so many auction
is
items.
Is that right?
And just, a lot of, restaurant gift certificates,
is
oil changes, that sort of thing.
Silent auction,
yeah, silent auction.
So you write down your
right.
bid.
But it takes you a long time
to
see everything.
Yeah.
So, dinner's at 5, but, get there a little early and... Then you'll have a chance during dinner to kind of walk through and see the different silent auction items. But they do have some live auction items as well.
Yeah, okay. good deal. And I've got one free ticket here. I've been giving away a free ticket every day for this. And if you just knew what all takes place, like Jeff was saying, wow, okay. Now I'm trying to think of a question to make it worthwhile to give this to somebody. What, Jeff, do you have any idea what a good question would be?
I'm trying to think of a NASCAR type question since it's it's a NASCAR auction.
What does NASCAR stand for? NASCAR. Well, that's a good.
I know most.
Yeah,
most of it, but I don't know all of it.
Okay, give us a call if you can tell me what NASCAR stands for. You'll be the winner of this ticket. 7403-39944. NASCAR. What does that stand for?
And that's Maury's shaking his head saying, he doesn't know the answer to that.
Yeah. Now, can they stop out at Marion Auto Sales and get a ticket?
Yeah, they'll have them. Any Ridgedale Lion member should have them. But, yeah, if they stop out at Marion Auto Sales, they can get a ticket there.
Good deal. All right. It's Saturday, February 15th. Now, is that in the auction barn like out? Or
yeah, Rick Fogle's.
Rick Fogle. I thought.
Yeah, that's Rick Fogle's place.
Okay.
And it's a very big place. I mean, it's a nice place to have that. They used to have it there next to Marion Catholic.
That's right. Yeah, that's a church now.
Right. They used to have it there at the
Bowler Center?
Yeah, the Bowler Center.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the last couple of years it's been out at Rick's.
Okay. So can you tell me what the letters NASCAR stand for? 7403-39944.
Do you know the answer?
Well, I think if they come close, I'll...
Oh, okay.
Because I don't know.
If you're in the ballpark.
Yeah, right, yeah. Oh, my. So, how about the overpass and everything out there, Jeff? That baseball, River Valley Baseball for Youth, is really... Oh, the thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something?
You know, and, of course, Lincoln Park used to get a lot of those tournaments during the summer. And, you know, some of the bigger tournaments, I know you'd get teams from Puerto Rico, Venezuela one year was here, the Dominican Republic.
Oh, yes. I've got some souvenirs from one of those southern countries that they gave me when... The thing was held in the big stadium there at Lincoln Park.
Yeah. And they would, they would draw teams from all over the country.
Yes.
And that's kind of, you know, fallen by the wayside here, you know, the last 10 years or so. Yeah. But, yeah, River Valley is picking up a lot of the tournaments.
They got a whole new entrance now.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't have to wait on trains anymore either. Okay, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
I know what NASCAR stands for.
Okay, well, would you like that Ridgedale ticket?
Yes.
Okay, what does NASCAR stand for?
National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing.
Okay, I knew the stock car auto, but I couldn't, and I figured it had to be national something, so National Association.
Okay, now, yeah. Just a second here. What is your name?
Kenneth Mitchell.
Mitchell's your last name. What's your first name again?
Yes, Kenneth. Does anyone know what NASCAR?
Turner?
Kenneth.
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 Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right, gotcha. Oh. Kenneth, you can pick up your ticket yet this morning if you'd like to come out and get it. Or I've got your name down, and it's here for you anytime.
Okay. Radio station?
Yeah. You got one ticket, and we're open here to about 12:30 or so today.
You better be here till 1.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right, if you get a chance, drop in today, if not next week.
that weekend.
All right. Okay.
And one of the nice things about the auction is all of the NASCAR cars you can bid on. And then, and it's broken out, and I don't have it in front of me, but if, say, your car wins the Daytona 500, you get $500.
Oh, really?
And then it's based, and they do it on different races throughout the course of the year. And some of the bigger names, they might go for $500, $600, $700. And then some of the lesser names might go for $50 or something
like
that.
So how do you pick these cars?
Well, you get, during the auction, each car that is in the Daytona 500, you, if you want to bid on that particular car.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
So, and some of the bigger names will, not just for the Daytona 500, but for some of the other races during the course of the year, you have a chance to win. And then they also give prizes, like if your car finishes last or second last, you get like $100 or something
like that.
So they really have a lot of the angles covered. They really do. Yeah, it's not like, you know, one car has to win, everybody else, you know, is a loser.
Yeah.
They really make it worthwhile.
Okay. I think I'll put his name in for the panda drawing too at the same time. Kenneth Mitchell, yeah. Okay. Kenneth Mitchell, you're also included in the drawing for the meal at Panda Express. I've got two free kids' meals that I'll give to the same person when we make that drawing around, 12:30?
Yeah,
so?
12:15, 12:30, okay, somewhere right in there.
Okay, and I've got their, Jeff, have you ever seen their menu?
I have not.
Yeah, I've got it in my hand here. And
you can. Slide it over.
Yes. Okay. Yes, all right. Now, let me see what else. I can register you for the drawing for these Panda Express tickets, and you'll get two of them if I draw your name. And I've got another question I have to ask here. Okay, so we got the Napa Auto Parts, okay, on South Prospect. Now, can you tell me the name of the old, well, if it was still there, it'd be old, but it's not there anymore. The restaurant across from the WMRN on the corner of Williamsport Road and the North-South Road there, and the famous restaurant that was mowed down by a herd of elephants. Can you tell me its name? And Jeff, you weren't there yet.
But I've heard the story,
many times, yeah. And the trouble with all the stories around Marion, they get all mixed up at times because we always like to add a little bit or subtract something to the stories. But, the Red Apple, I think the driver fell asleep. He was transporting the elephants to a circus, and he drove into the Red Apple and split it in half. And if anybody was sleeping upstairs, they'd have been uncovered. But I ate at the Red Apple almost every day.
Was the driver hurt? Do you remember?
I don't really know. Phil Reed was on that call with the fire department. But I remember one time I was in there eating, and a mouse came crawling across the pies. Oh, no. Yeah, he was looking. You know, as he crawled, he was looking around at people. And I didn't hear anybody scream, but there he was. And then there was a bump in the floor where they had put linoleum over a mouse.
Oh, wow.
It was different.
Wow.
But I could buy, you know, our wages at the radio station. Well, back in 1952, I made 75 cents an hour. And that's all I could afford. Well, a buck and a half, I could eat a slice of bread with butter on it and a sandwich, and that was about it.
Mm.
But what was the name of that restaurant? That's all you got to do is tell me the name of the restaurant, and I'll put your name down for the drawing. Yeah, and after that, Jeff, we had to go elsewhere to eat, like maybe down. Were you there? Probably not for the foot-long hot dog stand. It was down just south of the radio station. It was on the same side of the street. But they sold foot-long hot dogs, and it was a kind of a shabby-looking building.
I kind of remember that, yeah.
It had a thing that they could unhook and cover the door, the windows, and at night, and then open it up in the daytime. Oh, here's a caller. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Charlie, weren't you just talking about the red apple?
Yes, the red apple, yeah.
Well,
Scott, did you know that Martha Dowson... Wait a second. ...taught the dance by Marion, native and Miss America, Marilyn Meskey.
I had heard that.
What you didn't know was that after Marilyn taught them how to dance, that George gave her a gift.
Oh, really? What was that?
Two jugs of olive oil and a box of lemons.
George's calling card, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Two, one. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, we're back once again. Caller, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Hey, good. I'm glad you hung on.
You gave the answer away.
I did?
Yeah, right before he asked the question.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay.
You asked if anybody knew the name of the restaurant, and then you started talking about it.
Just about, yeah.
That's me.
I've noticed you've done that a couple of times.
Yes, I have. Yeah, I'm noted for that.
Charlie in line now.
Okay, now what's your name? And I'll put you in for the drawing.
Mary Bickley.
What's your name again?
Mary.
Mary.
Bickley.
Okay, how do you spell your last name? Bickley?
B as in boy, I-C-K-L-E-Y.
Okay, Mary Bickley. All right, Mary. Good luck.
Okay,
keep
Charlie.
Listening. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Of mine.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she and her husband. Good people.
Yeah. You know, a sad thing. One morning when I was working, I heard sirens, and I saw traffic lined up out in front of the radio station. And here it happened to be... Oh, wait, I got a caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
The other restaurant you were talking that south of the radio station was the Coney Island.
Yeah, well, you'd call it that. Yeah, a foot-long hot dog stand, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, what's your name? I'll put you in for the drawing.
Lisa Barnwell.
Okay. All right, Lisa, good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, that was... and I've got the recipe for their everything sauce. A member of the family that ran the foot-long... I put down her name in here. Okay, a member of the family that owned the foot-long hot dog stand called me up one day and he said, Evers, my family will disown me, but I'd like to tell you the formula for making everything sauce. And it's rather simple. Ketchup, mustard, diced onions, and let's see, was there anything else? I think that's it. And you mix all that together, and you got everything sauce to put on your footlong. And it really was good. Most everybody wanted everything sauce. And, Jeff, they were 35 cents a piece, which you'd have a hard time getting a footlong for that now.
Yeah.
Boy. Oh, those were the days. Now, do you remember the Lance jars in the basement of the radio station? Us poor guys had to...
I was told never to go down to the basement.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. That was one of the first the first days I was there. Whoever was training me said, don't ever get down to the basement. Because that was like for the engineers and that kind of thing. And they were afraid to... the announcers would mess things up or whatever.
You probably would have.
So I pretty much stayed out of the basement.
Okay, yeah. Down in the basement was the generator that generated nitrogen gas to fill the power, the tubular transmission lines to the FM antenna on top of the tower. And also down there was our tool room, which I occasionally would clean up and put everything in its order. And then parts and pieces of the tower that was put up, and I watched him put that tower up. In fact, I even have a movie of it that my dad took back in 1953 of them putting that tower up. I climbed that twice, and that's a thrill. Oh, boy. But anyhow, yeah, we had pieces of that tower stored, the nuts and bolts, on the other side of the basement. But the other side was so low, you had to almost crawl on your hands and knees. And the reason for all that, the basement was dug on top of limestone. In other words, you know, the stone quarries around there? Well, the stone quarries contributed, were part of the whole area, and they could only go down as far as that limestone. And so you had to duck your head to go down the basement. That's another reason they probably told you not to go down there. And the janitor kept his brooms and everything down there, Frank Smith, our janitor. Yep, and that's where I used to store all the historic tapes that we made. I made a tape of the grand opening of the new YMCA when it was on Church Street. And boy, that was a long time ago. Oh, they even had a walking track in there, Jeff, and a lot of banquets were held in the YMCA. Not anymore.
Nope.
Boy. Well, I went past last night the newer YMCA, and I see a lot of people parked near the door to exercise. That always gets me. They're there to exercise, but they can't stand to walk very far.
You know, I have never belonged to a gym. I've never belonged to a fitness center.
Is that right?
My metabolism or whatever. I've never obviously had to lose weight, and I've never had any desire to lift weights or anything like that.
Oh, good. Now, I belonged once to the Marion Racquetball Club, but that was only a freebie. But when we had a contest to lose weight at WDIF, I won the contest. I went out there every day and pedaled and did this and that. And one of the girls I worked with, she was news director, she gained weight.
Mm.
Oh, those were the years. But I had a good time writing about Marion, too. I never dreamed of myself as writing anything. But I started out by writing my weekly column, on a 1917 Underwood typewriter. And I was given that typewriter by a fella in Cardington as payment for being in a parade down there. And so I brought it to work, and I'm typing away, and the girls from the downstairs in the composing room or whatever put the news life together. They came up and said, "Evers, please, we're tired of retyping everything you do. Please just type into a computer." And that scared me to death. Computer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was one of those trash 80s or whatever made by Radio Shack or somebody. And I thought, oh, I'll never get this right. Well, that started my 10 or 12 years of writing on a computer. Wow. And those were, and that was when all that was just coming out. Like I said, they call them trash 80s. TRS-80. So, whatever. When was your first experience on a computer?
Would have been at the radio station sometime, but I don't really,
is that right?
I don't really recall.
Yeah. You always had a pile of newspapers.
And, of course, when I started, we had carts.
Yeah.
We'd always supposed to pull an hour's worth of, like, if I got off the air at 10, whoever came in at 10, then kind of as a courtesy, you would pull the carts so they would have their, the commercials just, you know, kind
in
of
order.
Lined up. And,
yeah.
And they could play them in order. Yeah. And we had one person, and you know who I'm talking about. he never did that for anybody.
Oh, I can imagine. I wonder if he does anything for anybody where he's at.
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
But, you know, if now with the computer, if you had like a 3-minute block of commercials, you might have had, say, a couple of 30s, a 60, and a couple of 30s, you just hit the button and, you know,
it would play them in order. Yeah.
Yeah. And in the old days, you had to, you know, you'd stick a cassette in or the card in. And I forget how many you could put in at a time, but the commercial was over. Went on, you'd stick the next one in, and then you'd pull the one out, and then stick another one back in there.
And then there were the times we had to record on those cassettes or cartridges. The commercials were all on there, and I can remember, too, Marge Williams, who had passed away, she was a writer. And I still remember one of the commercials she wrote. It was for Snow's Racket Store. It was like, Mary, Mary, how does your garden grow? And it grows with snow, it was seeds from Snow's Racket Store. I can't get that out of my mind after 50 years or so. And because all of our commercials weren't on disc or anything else, they were on copy paper. But we also had transcriptions, you know, the big 15-inch transcriptions, and they were in the bin behind us. And so we had to lean back and pull those out in order and stack them somewhere. And
You remember Mary Laird, of course.
Yeah.
And Mary had been there for years.
Oh, yes.
And she finally left because when they started bringing the computers in.
Oh, she didn't.
And she got to the point, I just can't do that. Yeah.
Mary introduced my wife, the girl that I married. Yeah. She introduced us. Is Mary alive yet or not?
I don't know.
Her husband died, I remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, yeah. And then there was our other receptionist, and I don't know, she probably left years ago. Behind that counter, behind that screen, remember? Were you there when they had that glass enclosure, and the receptionist sat behind that? And people used to come up and lean on it, talk to her.
No, I don't remember the glass.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it had a rubber strip on top of it. And people would lean up there forever knocking that little rubber strip off the glass. Mary Tong was her name.
Okay, don't remember her.
She was from the Ridgedale area.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of things were a long time ago. And Betty Miglore is the only one I know of that's still around. Betty was worked for St. Mary's Parish in their office, and I don't know if she. I haven't talked to her in 50 years or so. I would think she'd be retired by now.
I remember the salespeople when I came was, of course, Gus Judy.
Yeah.
And the Sheldon Dodds.
Right.
I remember them, and Mike Messina.
Mike Messina,
was another salesperson. Right. There may have been another one, but those are the only three that I can think of.
You know who he is? He had a heart attack. Mitchell.
Mike Mitchell?
Yeah.
Was Mike there then?
He was there when I was there.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was thinking, was he there in 79 or 80 when you were there? Because I don't think
not.
Yeah, I don't think he came till, you know, maybe the late mid to late 80s.
I remember when I went to work at WDIF, they had me conducting tours all over the country. And my first tour was to Hawaii. And, you know, the nicest thing about that, the person that does the tours goes free. I could never take my wife because I went free and I couldn't afford to take her.
Yeah.
And I took Mike Mitchell's wife and a bunch to Hawaii. And I'll never forget, this one fella followed me everywhere on my tour. And finally, the rest of the people said, why don't you leave Evers alone? He doesn't want you following him everywhere. We were in to Lahaina in Maui, and there's a guy making hats and selling them out of leaves. And somebody said, "You know what his main purpose is?" I said, "No, he's making money to buy drugs." And they said, "You see the green hillside? Don't go near it. That's marijuana." And here, beautiful Lahaina, you know, the whaling capital of the Hawaiian Islands at one time. And yet, behind the scenes, it was, and the alleys were full of smoke from people smoking pot. Oh, my goodness.
I remember when George Yoakam came to the station as the general manager, and he took, and when George came here, he was here several months before he was actually named the general manager, just kind of getting a feel of the community and so forth. And he used...
Did you know President Warren G. Harding was from Marion, Ohio?
Yes, I did. I passed by his home on the way to the station today, but he wasn't home.
Well, Ted, he's been dead for quite some time.
That doesn't excuse bad manner. He could have left a bundt cake. They get better with age.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Okay, back again with Jeff Ruth, and
George Yoakam.
Oh, yes,
And going around and getting familiar with the community as he had come up from Columbus. And he used to go to one of the local restaurants for breakfast. And Sheldon and Gus and Mike would go in there, and they'd sometimes be in there for an hour and a half or 2 hours just... You know,
and at times they'd be behind Axel, that clothing store that had a back room.
Right, I had heard about that.
Yeah, with pool tables and everything.
Yeah, and so when George was officially introduced as the general manager, he met with all the staff and so forth, and we got done, and he said, "I want to see, you know, Sheldon and Gus and Mike. Stick around after the meeting." So Sheldon had kind of a part-time real estate job as well, and he had some apartment complexes or units or whatever. And George kind of laid the law down that, okay, you know, what you do between 8 and 5 is company time. I don't care what you do after 5 o'clock, but when you're here, you were to be selling, WMRN, and that does not include any more 2-hour lunches or, going out to breakfast at 8:30 and working till 11 or, you know, staying till 11 o'clock, something like that.
Yeah, sure sounds familiar. And a lot of salespeople from different businesses gathered at, Walter Axelm's, I think it was, in their back room. And they would tell the man back there, "Don't tell anybody I'm here. If the phone rings, I'm not here." But you could tell something was going on back there because the door was all smudged, where hundreds of guys every day was in and out of that and left their fingerprints, more or less.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my. That was right next to Anson Pickerel, another clothing store. Yeah, on the internet, on Facebook, there's a picture of a 1949 Christmas parade, and you can see the sign Anson Pickerel there, and where Trainers was, Twin Sandwich Shop or something like that. Yeah, there was a lot of things that used to be, and there are people trying to bring back the downtown, and it's going to be a job.
Mm-hmm.
But they're sure trying. Yeah, Alex Sheridan and his buddy have invested so much in those buildings. And remodeling them, and different young people have rented storefronts.
You have to have a vision to do something like that.
Yeah. And the man that died not too long ago while I was in the hospital, we were in the same room, Kiefer. Mr. Kiefer owned two different stores there.
Right.
Sold very nice ladies' garments. Oh, boy. But he was, 3 days before he passed away, he was in my room at Marion General. And at night, Mr. Kiefer would yell for his dog. And he... Because, you know, he was not totally 100% because he was fading fast.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted his dog so bad.
Oh.
He would yell, Rocky. Gosh. Oh, my goodness. Well, anyhow, let's see. What's happening in Mary? Oh, we have the new Harding Center that being built. Have you seen that yet? Well, it's not open yet.
Right. But, boy, you drive by it. I mean, every week you drive by, you can see more and more.
Yeah. I think there's a house there that has to come down yet on the left-hand side of the driveway going into it.
Just got the newsletter a day or two ago, and they're planning the big, you know, grand opening at the first part of July.
Yeah, that's right. That'd be something.
That's not that far away either.
No, it's not. Oh, my goodness. It's just amazing how fast it goes. Wow. But anyhow, yeah, now, Joe Peters and I was his man. You know, there are two of us. He was chief engineer, and I was the other little engineer. And we would spend nights out there maintaining the equipment. And it to such a degree, I would even polish the open wires in the AM transmitter to make everything look like brand new. And it helped to increase the efficiency of that transmitter, which was originally 250 watts. Well, one day I heard a tap on the window. I was on engineer duty. It was during the daytime, and I heard a tap on the window, and naturally I turned around, and a man was standing there with his badge holding up against the window, and it said FCC. I thought, oh, no. No, because we feared.
I was going to say, you know, the average person wouldn't know what that meant.
Yeah.
But they were they were like the U.S. Marshals.
Yeah, but I got one over on him, you might say. Now, Dick Cotton was his name, and he was feared by everybody. Because if you ask him a question, he would not answer it directly. He would point to the page out of a manual that you should read would answer your question. Well, so every time he came in, he would write down all the readings on the transmitters. And this one time he's over, I had trouble with the FM transmitter. And so I switched it to half power. I never made a notation on this log. And there's Dick Cotton, mean old guy, writing down all my meter readings. And you know, when he left that day, he never said boo about running at half power and no notation on it. Oh, boy.
There was only one time, and back years ago, they used to come in, a couple times a year, maybe?
Yes, yes.
And then it got to be like once a year, and it's been years since
none at all.
I was going to say, yeah. But I was on vacation, and he came in, and they were only allowed in between like 8 and 5.
Yeah, that's right, business hour.
And whoever was filling in for me, the person came in, and they asked him to perform an EBS test.
Oh.
And the person was filling in for me, and he had no idea.
No,
and I know the station got written up for that, and I think we had to pay, you know, a $500 fine or something like that. Yeah.
And Dick Cotton wrote us up on, it was RCA manufactured this transmitter, the AM, and Dick Cotton said we had the wrong meter in one of the panels. Well, it was put there by the manufacturer, but we got written up on it. Had, you know, what a guy. And he was a ham radio operator, too. His callers.
Was he local?
No, he was from Detroit.
Okay.
And his callers were W8DX. And one night I was on the air on ham radio, always looking for foreigners to talk to. And so I'm calling this guy, and I finished. And I heard W8DX also calling this guy and got him to talk to. And I thought, boy. And that was Dick Cotton, the meanest inspector you'd ever find.
Wow.
But then another time I heard a rap on the window and turned around. It was Tex Ritter, John Ritter's dad.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was there for, but I got to meet him. Then I got to meet, she came to town with the Rotary Club. Oh, she's a television personality, or was. And I got to meet her. But, Dick Norris. Dick Norris weighed about 400 pounds, I mean, and was 6 foot tall. And he was also a PR guy for country western artists. And, but why he dropped that and went to work on the, as a morning announcer on WMRN, and I've got pictures of him. He brought Johnny Weissmuller, Tarzan. He brought him to the station once. And I remember setting the microphone up for to interview him. And Dick, what did I say his name was? Whatever. He had, as another country western guy, I can't remember the name, that he dropped him, and 2 weeks later, this country western artist had the number one song. It's Dick Norris. Oh, no, you might know.
Mm.
He dropped a leading, and this guy is still, he's on the Grand Ole Opry. Detroit City. That
was it Bobby Bear?
Yeah, Bobby Bear. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
That's it. I remember the song Detroit City. Yeah.
Yeah, he was Bobby Bear's agent.
Okay.
And said, he's no good. Dropped him. Oh, my. See, those things you never know. Boy, there's been a lot of water in the bridge. And, of course, my 10 years over at WDIF were very interesting. And all the tours I did and different activities I got involved with. But the one I flew to Panama in a C-130 out of Mansfield.
You flew one time with Marianne Michaels.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because it was a Friday morning, and she called about 11:30.
Okay.
And whoever she talked to or whatever did a report from the plane.
Okay, that's what I did, too.
Yeah.
And the only thing, when I'm on the plane's telephone talking to back to the radio station, I said, we're going to land down here in Cuba. And the pilot turned around at me. His face turned white as a sheet. He said, no, you can't say that. We're not landing in Cuba. Why? I said, I'll never know.
No.
But we were over Cuba at the time.
Okay.
And he said, don't you see those fighter planes out there? They're trailing us all the time we're in this area. And we could be shot down. And there was a lever saying we're going to land in Cuba.
Mm.
But when we stayed in Panama, we stayed at the Marriott Hotel. And I had Jane Imbody and Ellen Messenger with me, too. And that evening that we were, second time I was there, I told Ellen and Jane, I said, let me take you across the street so you can see where they have the Miss Universe contest. It was a place called Atlapa Convention Center. So I took them outside, and we walked across the street to the convention center, and I said, there's where the Miss Universe contest is held. So we started back. And as we started back to the hotel, a gang surrounded us. And I could hear yet this guy saying, lady, watch your purse. Well, they gathered, and I think it was going to get violent. And I had to take Ellen and Jane Imbody and push them through this crowd back into the hotel. And I don't know what would have happened if I hadn't got him in. And I thought, that's typical Ever's luck.
Mm.
Everything backfires.
I didn't realize Miss Universe pageant was held in Panama.
Yeah, at Lapa, yeah.
Oh.
It stood for Atlantic and Pacific.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, that was a long time ago. And then maybe it was another trip I was there, I went to the beach just walking around, and there was a little child there. He had a little smile on his face, so I went and sat him on my knee on the beach. And he started yelling and screaming. I thought, no, no, here I go again. But I set him down and walked away, and his parents were nearby, and they didn't say anything.
Okay.
Oh, that could have been an international incident.
Yeah.
And then, I think it was the same year, I went downtown because I remember, yeah, in the year before, I saw a shortwave radio I wanted, and I thought of that all the time I was gone. And so I walk downtown, and I go into the radio store, and I buy this radio, and standing next to me was one of Noriega's men, submachine gun in hand.
LPFM, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place, for guests like legendary ABC News correspondent Sam Donaldson.
Over the course of this program, we have had a lot of great guests on. We've had you, Downs. We have had David Hartman. We have had Marvin Kalb and Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, Jesse Jackson, just great people, people who are no longer with us, Tony Curtis and Phyllis Diller and Jane Meadows and all the great guests we've had over the last 5 years. But today, making a very special appearance with us is a gentleman who's been on before. He is an icon in the world of news without question. And my introduction is now over, long enough to say, here is Sam Donaldson. Sam, how are you?
Well, Scott, I'm pleased to be with you. I mean, you're persistent, you're smart. I understand that you've been on the air for 5 years. And I must tell you, I was a reporter in Washington for 52 years. The next 47 is the easiest. I mean, the first five was the hardest, Scott.
You know, it's interesting, Sam. I was talking to somebody the other day over a few radio stations. I've been doing this for 17 years, and boy, I'll tell you, it never gets old.
No, it never gets old, and it's always interesting if you are smart and if you keep up on the topics that people are interested in. And the list of guests you've had.
I can't thank you enough. The audience can't thank you enough. And I hope every so often you'll come back and join us periodically.
I will when I can, Scott, because I'll repeat it. You're smart, and in the case of trying to get guests, you're persistent, and that pays off.
And the funny lady from Hee Haw, legendary actress Lulu Roman.
When you do a show like you will on Sunday, a musical performance, is there a number in there, because you are so comedic, you have that great comedic time. Is there a number that kind of strays to the comedy side of things that you like to do?
They want me to do the Where Oh Where Are You Tonight thing, so I'll do that. And I have little verses, you know, that go with it. And that's funny, people like that do.
Now tell people where that came from who might not remember that.
Okay. On Hee Haw, there was two guys who stood in front of the board fence, Archie Campbell and Gordy Tapp, and they did a little thing called Where Oh Where Are You Tonight. And the chorus